Well, we missed what we like to call Algona Faith Sunday. It's kind of a family tradition of just kind of celebrating the time that we've been here with you guys. We like to remember, we think that in a family, anniversaries are important because they're kind of the beginning, the birth of a family. And so we like to celebrate that. And it is our heart to once a year celebrate the fact that we get to be here with y'all and just remember exactly what Algona Faith is all about. And I'm hoping that you guys can state our vision statement at any point. But we need to continue to preach about it more than once a year. But once a year, we just really want to focus in and remind you guys what we're all about here. Can anybody tell me what our vision statement is here?
I think I heard it.
I think I heard it too, but I wasn't very excited. Try it again. There you go. Good job. So we missed it. Usually we try to celebrate this the first Sunday of August, and we missed it because we were at General Council this August, which was an incredible trip and still blessing us. And you're going to hear illustrations from that couple weeks that we were away for years to come, I promise, because we experienced so much during that time. But we thought we'd just catch up real quick. Are you okay with that? All right. Well, I was headed to church this morning, and I found something, and I'm afraid that someone's moved it here. I found something that I thought you guys might appreciate. Well, this is a whole lot more drama than I expected with this little thing. Here
What's
it is.
What's it gonna be?
I found something on the way to church today. Did you see any of these on your way to church today? Have you noticed how these are turning lovely colors? If you drive past our Wooster Street house, you'll see that the tree right next to it is just yellow at this point, yellow and orange, just beautiful. And we're reminded that seasons are changing, right? The temperatures are starting to drop and our days are growing shorter and cooler if you went to the homecoming game or the band day celebration last night. And soon the four-letter word that we don't speak of will be here, falling from the sky. Yes, I'm with you on that one, Phil. You know, the seasons change, right? They do, and we see that so beautifully illustrated here in northern Iowa, but I warn you that there's parts of the country that don't experience the seasons changing so distinctly, and after 8 years in living such a place, I really appreciate the very fixed change of the seasons. This cycle of seasons that you and I are so familiar with is it's a good reminder to us that God is always working on the next thing. He has a plan, and he's constantly moving us forward in that plan. And we can either choose to cooperate with the plan, or we can balk at it. It's going to happen either way. The leaves are going to turn, the snow is going to fall, the spring rains are going to come, and the summer sun will shine. We can complain about it, or we can embrace it and enjoy it. I think God would prefer us to take one attitude over the other. What do you think? God's plan for us is growth. It always has been, and it always will be. When we look at nature, we realize that things that are alive grow. If they stop growing, they're dying, or they're already dead. Change is necessary if we're going to grow, and we're all about growing. We believe that God is all about growing, and that, of course, is the heart of Algona Faith, that we're growing faith and we're sharing faith.
So we want to illustrate that by sharing a scripture story with you. So Mark chapter 5, and you can turn there in your Bibles now. We read the story, it might be familiar to you, or it might seem kind of weird. So I just caution you, you know, as we read through this, and as you read through the Bible on your own, you know, resist the urge to discount the supernatural, right? Another verse says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual darkness. I mean, there are things going on in the non-physical world. There are things going on behind the scenes, if you will, that we need to be aware of. You know, there are spirits. Satan is alive, he's real, he's active, but God is greater, amen? So supernatural happens in the Bible. It happens today. And so we don't want to discount that. But when you approach this story or maybe some other story that you've read maybe countless times as a child through your childhood and as an adult, approach it with fresh eyes. That's what I always try to do when I'm reading the Bible. And maybe even try to put yourself in the shoes of an observer. If you were there in the first person, what would this really look like? So with that, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20 read, "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs and met him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me.' For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit.' Then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'My name is Legion,' he replied, 'for we are many.' And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them.' He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by this legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, 'Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.' So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, or the 10 cities in that area, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed." There's a lot there, and we're going to share a couple quick points and make one great illustration, a conclusion. And I want to pause and thank Rocky and Wendy for the pigs that you see behind us was part of the Band Day float. We had a barn theme, and they did a great job. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, they went above and beyond.
Yeah.
Just a quick shout out there. That's a physical way that we're sharing our faith with our community. And it was a great opportunity to walk with our parade and hand out candy. And just we handed out invitation cards and just to love on our community. And we'd love to have greater participation in that next year. That would be a lot of fun. So back to our story here. We can learn so much from this graveyard guy. We get a firsthand look at the cost of sin through his life. Sin enslaves. Sin separates. Sin hurts and sin haunts. And we see this very clearly in his story. First of all, sin enslaves. The man had lost all pretenses of his former life. Chains and irons could not hold the demonic strength that he was under, only because this much stronger force had a firmer grasp on him than any chain or iron could. See, Satan holds our lives in his fist when we give ourselves over to sin. Can you picture that? He holds us in his fist. He enslaves us. Secondly, sin separates. This man had lost all of his human contact. He could not enjoy a cup of coffee with a friend or hug from his family. He couldn't maintain a conversation or attend a meeting. He couldn't keep a job or have a party. He was cut off from everyone and everything. Because sin separates. Thirdly, sin hurts physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This man lived in constant pain. He cut himself on the rocks. You think that cutting is a new thing? It's not. It's been around since Satan has been roaming the earth. He suffered in the weather, and he suffered in his mind. He was tormented, a life immersed in total darkness of sin. It was totally immersed in sin and despair. It's a miserable and dark existence that this man was living. And lastly, sin haunts. Everywhere this man went, his demons went with him. He was never free of their presence. There was no hour or minute of freedom from the dark voices in his head, because sin haunts. But one encounter with the living Christ changed everything. It does for him, and it does for us.
Amen. So Jesus sent those demons into the pigs, and some people really wonder about the significance of that. And you know, there are great questions that arise, and it's very interesting. But for the purpose of this message, I think it all boils down to the fact that Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, say what you will, come to whatever conclusion, you know, read different commentaries, but Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. In Scripture, we see him calm the sea, walk on the water. He brought the dead back to life even before he himself was raised back to life. And here, we see that the demons couldn't leave the man or enter the pigs without his permission. Mm-hmm. That's lordship right there. Mm-hmm. Now, pigs are pretty good business here in Iowa, right, Wayne? He works with pigs, and, yeah? But when Jesus is around, his business is better.
Amen.
We should be about his business. And there was no stopping the demon-possessed man without Jesus. That man was running rampant. He could do whatever he wanted to. Nothing could hold him back. But he encountered Jesus, and his life was changed. We need Jesus to get in our business. We need an encounter with Jesus as well, and to change our lives, just like the demoniac. And this is a great story about a life that was changed by Jesus in a dramatic way, right? It's quite dramatic. And some of you have a testimony like this man. Maybe you were possessed by a demon. Maybe you were tormented, and maybe you weren't. Maybe that's more a figurative term. But maybe you wrestled with something, and Jesus set you free. And that's an awesome testimony. But I'd suggest that maybe if you're like me and you grew up in church and you might have lied a little bit or swore a little bit, you know. I didn't get into the big sins because I was a little kid, but when I gave my life to Jesus, he changed my life. And he changed the trajectory of my life. Mm-hmm. I would probably be in jail if it wasn't for Jesus. Mm-hmm. I would probably be beaten up several times because I shoot my mouth off. But our lives have been changed, and we all have a story to tell if you've actually received Jesus, if you've allowed him to change your life. So here's the deal. No matter your testimony, no matter what your life was like before Jesus, you have a story to tell. And don't just tell about what Jesus did in your past. So sometimes we get so caught up in those people that have huge, elaborate, you know, life-changing messages, and they think that's an awesome testimony, and they only talk about the past. So I encourage you to talk about what Jesus did in the past, but talk about what Jesus did in your present as well, what he's doing in your life right now. And if Jesus isn't doing too much in your life, there's your first application. Allow Jesus to do something in your life that is worth talking about. Mm-hmm. And we don't know about this demoniac, you know, how much time he spent. We know that after he got set free and delivered from the demons, we see that he sat at Jesus' feet, and he had limited time with Jesus. So he got some discipleship, he spent time with Jesus, and then it was time to go, and the story changed. But I want to pause here a second. We are not like that. We're not in the same boat with that. We have unlimited time with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus isn't just here for a couple days and passing through, and we need to soak up everything we can. He's here. Mm-hmm. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, mm-hmm. he's here in our midst. He's here mm-hmm. when we take the opportunity to receive from him, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Are we listening? Are we soaking that in? Are we allowing ourselves to sit at the feet of Jesus and let him speak to us? So the demoniac, he spent time with Jesus, but his time, when it was over, was over. But we can be blessed by him every day.
the man sat at Jesus' feet. He didn't just get healed and go back to his regular life. He stopped and he sat at Jesus' feet and he grew. He grew in his faith. We see in this story how important it is that we spend time at Jesus' feet growing. We don't just get healed and walk out the door and go back to business as usual. We spend time with him to be made more like him. Too often in our world, we get healed, but we don't grow from there. We get saved, but we don't do any long-term work. We don't invest. We settle for so much less than the full life that Jesus offers us in John 10:10. And we wind up not growing for several reasons. Here are our typical obstacles to growth. First of all, we're lazy. I'm sorry, but it's true. Human nature, we're lazy. We don't want to do the work of growing. It requires discipline to grow. You may have to get up earlier. You might have to drink 2 cups of coffee in the morning to get your devotional time in. You may need to invest in a good study Bible or in a small group, in the growth group, or in a Bible study on Wednesday night. You may need to rearrange some priorities in your life so that you can grow. But we need to. It's essential because we're lazy on our own, and so we need to grow that discipline that we will grow fruit in our lives. So that's the first obstacle, we're lazy. The second obstacle is that sometimes nobody expects us to grow. We get saved and we just kind of warm a seat for a few decades and then we go home. And no one says, hey, what are you doing? How are you growing? What's Jesus doing in your life? That gets us both ways because we should be asking that of ourselves and we should be asking that of others. We should, as a church body, we should be encouraging one another towards growth. We should be holding one another accountable. It's one of the major things that we do in our ladies' coffee on Tuesdays is, what is God doing in your life this week? You know, and sometimes folks don't come back because they don't want to answer that question. But we need that accountability. We need people to hold us up and say, hey, how are you growing? And conversely, well, how are you growing? How can we grow together? The third obstacle to growth is that growing hurts. I have a quite tall son, and he used to complain, oh, my legs hurt, my legs hurt, my legs hurt, my legs hurt. Why did his legs hurt? Growing pains, right? Because he got tall, and it cost him something to get tall. I wouldn't know, I've never gotten tall, but I hear this about tall people, that it hurts to grow tall. It's the same in the kingdom, that it's gonna hurt us. We're gonna have some growing pains as we grow in our faith. And a lot of times we'll start to grow, we'll start to get on this trajectory with Jesus where we start to get excited about the things of God, and then all of a sudden we realize, oh, this is uncomfortable and costly, so maybe I don't want it that bad. And we give up and we return to our familiar ways. But this guy, this graveyard guy, he sets the example of growth. He's sitting at Christ's feet, earnest for more information and desperate to build relationship with his new Savior. And then he didn't get to get up and run off with Jesus. That's what he wanted. In fact, it says that he wanted to go with Jesus. And Scripture tells us that he begged to climb into the boat with Jesus. He wanted to leave this old life, his baggage and his history and his habits and his hangouts, all these familiar haunted places he wanted to leave and just begin a new life with his Savior. But instead, Jesus asks him to do the harder thing, to stay and to invest his faith in the people around him. See, we don't get saved and get instantly transported to heaven. Wouldn't that be awesome if we did? But that's not how God's kingdom grows. He wants to leave a few of us here to share the gospel, right? We need to stay here so that we can keep growing and keep sharing our story with others. Let me challenge you that if you are growing, you will not be able to help but share it. The two are intertwined. We grow and we share.
So that's what this man did. He took the challenge that Jesus had for him, and he shared his faith. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to be consistent at home, where people see you day after day. Maybe being in a small town, it's, you know, if you've been here a long time, you're used to that, you know. That was an adjustment and still kind of is to me today. There's no anonymity here in this small town, you know. Everybody knows each other, you know, and as we're here longer, we're knowing more people, and they know us, you know, partly because our services are broadcast on TV. So hi out there in TV land. And they approach us after hearing our stories and some of our sermons and stuff. And so they feel like they know us, but we don't know them. So we have to watch how we act in our small towns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's ironic, probably not happenstance, that it's Mission Sunday. So here's a little tie-in to missions. You are a home missionary. Mm-hmm. You're a missionary to your home. You're a missionary in front of your kids, you know, your family, the people you live with that you are really super close with. You're a missionary to people here in the church. You're an example to the believers around you of how you should be growing in your faith and sharing your faith. You're a missionary in your community, whether it's Algona, Bancroft, or Burt, Corwith, Emmitsburg, Kanawha, Lakota, Lone Rock, Wesley, West Bend, or
Whittemore.
The last one. You know, you show your coworkers and your friends that you're a different person. And they may only know you as saved so-and-so. They may not know your backstory, but let you be a saved person that is worth following. Be a saved person that is different than the rest of the world. Be a person who is inspiring others to come and follow Jesus as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. Remember always that the Great Commission is for every believer. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." He gave this to every believer, not just the pastors. Mm-hmm. So make disciples wherever you are, Jesus says. Make disciples, you know, bring them into fellowship, you know, baptize them, fellowship with them. Bring them to faith in Jesus and belong with people, with believers. And all this is not just the pastor's responsibility, but it's your responsibility as well. So who are you discipling? Who are you bringing into the family of God?
We have this holy obligation to share our faith. It's really a privilege. I like to think of it as God inviting us into the kitchen of collaboration to share the gospel with the world. When my kids were little, I would let them help in the kitchen when they were 3 and 4. And if you've ever had a 3 or 4-year-old help you in the kitchen, you know about how much help they actually are. You don't invite the 3-year-old in the kitchen because you're gonna get a better product because they're there helping. You invite a 3-year-old in the kitchen for the joy of allowing them to help in the project, in the baking or the cooking that you are participating in. You could do it on your own. In fact, you could probably do it faster and easier and probably more edible if you did it on your own. But you bring that 3-year-old in so that you can share the experience and share the product, the end result that you are making. God didn't need us to participate in the Great Commission. He invited us to participate in the Great Commission for our benefit and his enjoyment, right? Amen. He enjoys having us be a part of this. He doesn't need us, but he delights in our participation, and he knows that by bringing us into the kitchen of his gospel production, that we're going to grow in that process. And what parent doesn't long to see their child grow?
I love that thought, that God wants us to participate. He didn't save you just so that you could warm a seat, you know, that you could occupy that seat for decades. He wants us to be participators in what he's doing around the world and here in our communities. Mm. Not just to be a spectator, not to sit on the sidelines, but to get in the game and to participate in what is going on. That's the adventure of life, is exploring and growing. And so if you're not finding out new things about God, if you're not growing in your relationship with Jesus, that's a challenge, but that's what life is all about, and especially life as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. If you're not really growing, are you really following? If you're not really sharing, are you really caring? We need to care enough to share our story. We need to care enough about others around us that are dying and going to hell. We need to care enough to share with them the life changing story about what Jesus did in your life. So the demoniac became a missionary to 10 towns, and a few moments ago I named 11 towns that are represented here. And if we do our best to grow our faith, Pastor Anna said, we can't help but share our faith. And when we share our faith with others, the kingdom of God will grow. And that's an exciting thought. I hope it excites you. Mm-hmm. I hope that will challenge you and motivate you to grow your faith. That's where it starts. Grow your faith, and then you'll share your faith. So, question here is, how can you grow your faith? Well, first, attending services regularly helps, but what are our services, 90 minutes long if you stay for growth groups? You know, that will only carry you so far. You can attend Sunday school for adults at 9 a.m. You can participate in the growth groups that happen right here for your convenience. You can come to Bible study on Wednesdays at 6:30, but growing your faith really goes beyond what the church as an organization can offer. Right. You know, we have limited time, resources, availability. You can grow wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. You can have even with the Bible app, there's custom-made Bible reading programs for you. If you struggle with one sin, or if you need a boost over this area in your life, or you want to learn about something, you can find that information, and Scripture will lead you, and you can grow through the time that you invest in your own time. But, you know, listen to sermon podcasts, listen to worship music, soak in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that will help you grow your faith.
So that's growing your faith. How do you share your faith? The same way God includes us. You include others in the process. You talk about what God is doing in you. And if you're growing, like I said, you won't be able to help but sharing it, because growth is contagious, just like apathy. Mm. Have you ever noticed that, how apathy is so contagious? But excitement is contagious as well. And we get to choose between the two.
Yeah. So there are a couple of great opportunities for application today, and I'm going to ask Marcia to come and just play a little bit to set the stage here. But we want you to respond right now, right where you are in your seat, and we'll pray over each of these areas. So first of all, we talked about the slavery of sin. Can you see where sin enslaves, where sin separates, where sin hurts, and where sin haunts? Can you relate to the demoniac? Maybe you've been in that, maybe not possessed by demons, but maybe you've been enslaved by sin and you've had a hard time conquering some sinful habits. Are you living there right now? Sin takes us further than we ever wanted to go and costs us more than we ever dreamt that we would have to pay. See, no one starts out in the graveyard like this demoniac. Nobody says, I want to go there and do that. I want to be chained up. I want to, you know, be possessed by demons. Nobody says that. But through our life choices, that's where we end up. Because that end result is not something that the devil wants to put out for a poster. Come join me and do this. No, that's not the advertisement for sin. It's much more subtle, you know, just smudging a little bit, blurring the line a little bit, doing just a little thing that we normally wouldn't participate in, justifying little sinful behaviors. But then that pull gets stronger, and you wake up one day and you realize that you're no longer in charge and that this sin has enslaved you. Sin is calling the shots, and you don't even recognize where you're living any longer. So if that's you and you need a radical encounter with Jesus, he's here. And he wants to set you free. He wants to actually have a word with your demons, and he will set you free. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are so powerful. Jesus, you spoke in the past, and you're speaking today to set us free from our sin. So God, I pray that if there's anybody here within the sound of my voice that is struggling, maybe they've tried so hard for years to get rid of a sinful behavior or a pattern or something they're struggling with, and maybe they're good now, but God, I pray that you would help them to not be deceived that this freedom is temporary, but may you set them free, and may you set them free indeed. Jesus, may they surrender to you, God. May they have an encounter with you, God. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to these demons and that you would set them free right now in Jesus' name, that these lives would be changed right now, that they would never go back to the sinful behavior, the enslaving behavior, the hurtful behavior that comes about being chained to our sins. Set them free right now. Let them experience today as a new day. October 1st, 2017 is a new day for them. May they look back on the calendar and say, that is the day that Jesus set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We also talked about change this morning. For some of you, change is hard. Maybe you resist it or resent it. Maybe you're still mad about something we've done or aren't doing since we've been here. Maybe there's a recent hiccup in your health or in your job. Maybe your kids' life choices have been particularly difficult for you to adjust to. Maybe you're letting change make you bitter and preoccupied rather than asking God what He expects from you in this new stage of life. Today, Pastor Rob and I would like to lovingly remind you that God can use change to change us, to grow us, and to make us more like Him, less attached to this world and more dependent on Him. If you're hung up on change this morning, can we ask God together to help you through it, to make you better and not bitter? Lord, we just acknowledge that change is hard. We're human and we like routines. We like things that are familiar. We like things that are comfortable. Lord, sometimes you don't let us stay in our routines. Things change and we're required to make a decision about that change. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see you in the midst of changes, that we would recognize strongholds in our own lives, that we would recognize attitudes that need adjusting or areas that you would like to grow us and stretch us in. And sometimes it's going to cause some growing pains. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't pull away from the pain, but that instead, like a good athlete, we would lean into that stretch, that we would lean into that pull, Lord, and that we would become more limber, stronger for your kingdom, more equipped, Lord, to be the builder that you've called us to be. Lord, don't let us fight change, but instead look for you in the midst of it and trust you as the world around is continually changing. You're always doing something in the background, and we trust you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And lastly, we talked about being a missionary right where you are, where you live. Remember that God has invited you into His process of saving and changing the world. So we pray, we give, and we go. We participate in various avenues of missions. We don't just, sometimes it's easier to give money and say, okay, somebody else can go. I'll give a portion of an offering for that. And it's hard to be the missionary. But God has you here for a reason. It's for you to grow your faith and to share your faith. That's the heart of the gospel. Love God, love people, right? You've heard that phrase. Love God, love people. If we love God, we will grow our faith. If we love people, we will share our faith. And that's our mission statement, growing faith and sharing faith. It's not just about sitting here, listening to messages every week, or coming to Sunday school and being discipled, but as a disciple, we need to go and disciple. It's a duality that we have. So we challenge you to not just sit at Jesus' feet, but at the same time take His story to those who need to hear. A lot of times Christians can get accused of living in a bubble. We have our own music, we have our own friends, we don't do these other things that non-Christians do. Sometimes need to stretch out, include some people that need to hear about Jesus. Let's pray. God, we just lift up this issue of being a missionary. And just like missionaries in a foreign field, or even legitimate U.S. missionaries that serve unreached people groups, God, they have to be you. They have to be a light in the darkness that you've called them to. And so, Lord, it would be great for us to get saved and get to go to heaven right away, but that's not your plan. We get saved and we don't get to live in a bubble. We get saved so we can share your story with other people. So help us, Lord, to not get overly infected with the the sin that's around us. Help us to be separate from the world, but help us to invade. Help us to pierce the darkness, Lord, that surrounds us so that Jesus can shine through us, Lord. And again, just like those missionaries that are off in Africa by themselves, they don't become like the culture they're trying to reach. They speak light and they speak truth into that culture. So let us do the same thing here in our small towns in northern Iowa. Let us speak truth. Let us change lives, Lord. Let us be a part of what you're doing all around the world, and let it be here as well, God. Let us see lives changed for your glory, Lord. And that as we've focused on this as being a mission statement for the church here in Algona, I pray that it would become each one of our personal mission statements, that we would purpose to grow faith and share faith, that our lives would be all about growing faith and sharing faith, and that wherever we work, whatever we do, however old we are, or our hobbies are, that doesn't matter, but our lives are all about growing faith and sharing faith. So I ask your blessing as we do that, Lord. Empower us to do this, Lord. To now that we've heard, let us go and do. Let us bring the change. Let us speak truth, Lord, to those that need to hear it this week. And bless our discussion time as in growth groups as well, Lord. Let us share our faith in that circle as well. As we share the stories of our lives and as we grow together, God, let us strengthen our relationships in those groups, Lord, and strengthen your church here in Algona. Pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And amen.